friends of Jesus, and now friends of mine. Have you ever found yourself in a completely dark space, totally devoid of any light, like a cave or a room or compartment, no light? Maybe you bump into things. Maybe you wonder how you're going to get out of there. It can be a very scary prospect. And you find yourself so grateful when you have some form of light beaming through to show you where to go. In our epistle reading for today, the Apostle Paul appeals to Christians to live in a way that reflects what we already are, namely as children of God who are shining out in a dark world. But what does he mean by that? And how do we become children of God and shining lights? Now, this may seem a little bit confusing here because Paul writes to the Philippians and to us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I don't know about you, but that pricks my Lutheran ears. It causes me to scratch my head. Because we confess with Martin Luther in the small catechism meaning to the third article, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. So, if it's God's doing, then how do I work out my own salvation? Well, it's important to understand that this is not what Paul is saying here. We do not actually work out our own salvation. Throughout his 13 epistles, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus accomplished our salvation. And here he emphasizes that it is God who is at work in us, both to work and to do according to his will. We cannot save ourselves, nor do we really do any of the good works. God works in us to do those things. Yet, because of our sinful nature, we need to live with a certain amount of fear and trembling, as Paul writes, so that we live lives of repentance, so that we do not look to ourselves for our salvation, so that we trust in God's complete working in us. Our old sinful nature should cause us to fear and repent. It is God alone who makes you his child. And that didn't happen by your birth in the flesh. You had to be born from above, born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. You had to be born of water and the Spirit. In other words, holy baptism. Your old self was born in sin, the sin inherited from Adam. We're born with it. And that's why Paul writes to the Ephesians, and you were dead in trespasses and sin in which you once walked. But God, by his grace, gave you new birth in holy baptism, in what the Bible calls the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. There, you were connected to Jesus' death and resurrection. You are now new creation. You are children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. This word of life, the prophetic and apostolic scriptures, are what the Holy Spirit uses to nourish and strengthen your faith as you read and as you hear God's word, like right here in the divine service. Yes, you are children of God, but you live in a world darkened by sin, hostile to God, hostile to you as his children. It was so back in Paul's day. It is so even in our day. We live in a world gone mad where evil is called good, and good is called evil, where those who stand up for the life of the helpless unborn and the infirmed as well as for the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, are called haters and bigots. And meanwhile, we see some who advocate the pro-death policy of abortion and euthanasia and the agenda of the LGBT community protest with violence and attempt to stop even a civil discussion of this in the public square. Elsewhere in the world, Christian churches are being bombed and Christians are being persecuted and killed. It is truly a crooked, twisted generation. Hardly a haven for Christian faith and life. We are in the world, but not of the world. We have different values. We have a different God, the true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this God has a purpose for us, his children, in this sin-darkened world. Paul tells us that purpose is you shine as lights in the world. The world is lost in darkness, groping around, not knowing God, not even knowing that they're lost and heading in the completely wrong direction. But instead of bemoaning the fact that we have to live in this fallen world and maybe even face persecution, instead of grumbling or questioning, God has a positive purpose for us, his children. As his church, in the midst of darkness, we are to shine out. And Paul provides the two ways that we do that. We shine as lights in the world because we have the mind of Christ and because we have the message of Christ. First, we shine as lights in a darkened world because we have the mind of Christ. We use all sorts of idioms with respect to our mind, don't we? What's on your mind? Make up your mind. You have a one-track mind. Mind your own business. Bear in mind. Wow, that blows my mind. It goes on and on. And Paul says, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ. So what does he mean? What is this mind or attitude we are to have? Well, this is the new nature that I talked about just a few moments ago. The new nature that is already yours in Christ through holy baptism. The Holy Spirit forms in us the mind of Christ so that we begin to think and act as our Savior did. So that in Christ the image of God is restored in us and we begin to reflect that to other people around us. This mind of Christ is a mind set on service, enlivened by love, clothed in humility. Paul describes this new life in our epistle lesson. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. That is what it is to think and act in a Christ-like way. And yet, when we take a good look at ourselves, we realize we don't always think and act that way, do we? We all fall short. Even as children of God, we still struggle with that old Adam, that old nature. And that's where we need to approach our salvation with fear and trembling and repentance. But then, remember who you are. You are not alone in this struggle. Paul adds, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work his good pleasure. You are his baptized child. He has worked the mind of Christ in you. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You already have this. It's God's gift. And this mind of Christ is a humble, serving mind, seeking to do the will of God by loving, and serving others. You have this and you live this, which is a light shining out in a darkened world. So, the first way in which we shine as lights in the world is that we live differently. We love and serve one another. We love and serve our neighbors, and this shines forth. People notice the way you live as Christians, the way you, as Blessed Savior Lutheran Church, live together. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So, the light of Christ shines forth in the way we live, and it honors and glorifies God. So, having the mind of Christ will draw people to the message of Christ, which is the second way in which we shine forth. Our text declares an amazing truth, a sedes doctrinae, as the theologians would say, a seat of teaching in the Bible. Jesus is no ordinary man. He is very God of very God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, eternal, limitless in goodness and mercy and every other godly attribute. And therefore, he deserves all honor and glory and praise. It is not robbery to say that Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father, for he is God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, fully God. And what does this fully God, only begotten Son of the Father do? He became a man. And it wasn't a fact-finding mission or a joyride. The only begotten Son makes himself of no reputation. He is born humbly. He becomes a man to be a bondservant, to be one of such low status that his life is forfeit for the sake of those he came to serve, for you and for me. Jesus emptied himself during what we refer to as his state of humiliation from conception until his suffering and death. And then, even as he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, the Father raised him from the dead. So that now, through faith in Christ, we have forgiveness and eternal life. God the Father raised the Son and exalted him to the highest place so that now the name of Jesus is the one name under heaven by which every human being must be saved. It is the name we Christians praise and glorify above all other names. It is the name, this name of Jesus, the Savior of the world, that we spread far and wide so that others can hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and thereby come to faith, have their sins forgiven, have eternal life. This is the light that we shine forth in the dark world. As you, the members and friends of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church, hold fast this word of life, the word of Jesus Christ, God is at work in you. You have the mind of Christ, and you have the message of Christ, both of which you beam forth in your community. And then, through your support of missions and the support of training other church workers, that message continues to go forth to the far corners of this world. For over 25 years, I had the honor and privilege to share and shine that light around the world as a Navy chaplain, first a reserve Navy chaplain, and then as an active duty Navy chaplain for 22 years. I was sent by you and other congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, even before that, before I studied for the ministry, I was an enlisted sailor. During the early 1970s, I served aboard the aircraft carrier, the USS John F. Kennedy. And it was on a deployment to the Mediterranean Sea that the John F. Kennedy collided with another ship, the USS Belknap. Terrible fires started on both ships. We fought fires all night on the John F. Kennedy, and the Belknap burned for 3 days. 8 sailors died on both those ships. When you have to put out fires on a ship, They turn off the electricity in the compartments of the ship where the fires are burning so that the firefighters aren't electrocuted with the water that they're using to put out the fires. So within the compartments, there is utter darkness. Meanwhile, the compartments are filled with smoke from the burning debris. Sailors who are fighting fires on a ship breathe through an oxygen breathing apparatus, what we call an OBA for short, which covers your face and has two small glass holes from which you look out. But if it wasn't for the little lamp that you have on your helmet, you would not be able to see anything. Without that little light, you'd be in total darkness. You would not be able to fight the fire. You would not be able to rescue anyone and then escape the smoke, the darkness, and the fire which is in front of you. You would die. We live in a sin-filled, darkened, dangerous world. We all desperately need light, or we will perish eternally. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You are baptized children of God, and as God's children, you are lights shining forth to others. You are such lights because you have the mind of Christ, and you have the message of Christ. Continue to shine forth, saints of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Continue to shine forth in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.